This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
I'm not 100% sure what the Nick Haley offense is going to look like, but I do feel like we're hearing some things from him at OTAs that we can absolutely hold him and this Texans team accountable toward, right? It's the physicality, I think, is one of the things that the Texans offense was missing. I think attention to detail was one of the things that the Texans offense was missing. From a personnel standpoint, this isn't as much coaching, but from a personnel standpoint, I think they were missing some speed in some places. And I think the drafting of Jalen Noll is going to help in that regard. But listen to Nick Haley talk about how everyone on this team is going to be responsible in the run game and for the physicality of the team overall.
Yes. Everybody will block. We're going to be committed to that in the run game. That's part of who we are. That's toughness. That's physicality. I think that's a non-negotiable, period. So,
Seth, it sounds simple enough. And Brandon Scott, by the way, here for Sean Pendergast in with Seth Payne. Man, that sounds simple enough, but the simple fact that they didn't really do it like that last year makes it worth mentioning and worth noting to me.
I thought this is my totally from the gut, no ration or reason about this, and I can't even justify this opinion that I have. But I do feel, in general, when I listen to an NFL coach or if I watch him, especially if he's a small guy and Nick Haley's not a big guy, I want a guy who would fight anybody and everybody if he had to. I want a guy that's not going to back down to a 340-pound diva or anything like that. Nick Saban had that quality. Small guy, wouldn't care if he would have got his ass kicked or not. He'd fight you. Yeah. And especially Nick Saban has talked about this, about how there is a certain element to, you know, of having some physical courage about you when you're an NFL coach, because you're going to get guys sometimes that make more money than you, that get up in your face or whatever, and you got to be able to show that you're no punk. I like that part about Kaylee. As he was given that, I felt like, yeah, Kaylee would fight me. He wouldn't care if he was going to get his ass kicked or not at all. He would fight me. And so when he says, all right, it's non-negotiable, there's got to be toughness, there's got to be physicality, it just feels a little bit different than if Bobby Slowick were to get up there and say that.
Yeah.
I feel like Bobby Slowick would try to negotiate his way out. So, and I'm not even taking that as a shot at Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick was always, it felt like, all right, I think he's really good on the whiteboard, but I don't know about when it comes to actually getting down in the dirt and coaching positions and technique and specifics and all of that. Like, Kaylee just feels like more of a blue-collar guy.
Yeah.
And I like blue-collar guys. I don't like guys that are just obsessed with their own brilliance or anything like that. Kaylee feels like a blue-collar guy that is going to like every time he talks, and it's all just talk at this point, he very much stresses the fundamentals and the technique and all of those things at the micro level that I think some offensive coordinators, especially in modern NFL, especially when the team was veering away from the run game as much as it was, now the game's veering back towards the run game. There's got to be an element of remembering that, no, this is a blue-collar job. This is not, I'm not a CEO, I'm not an engineer. This is a blue-collar job, and I'm going to treat it like that. And I think that is Kaylee's approach.
More from Texans' first-year offensive coordinator Nick Kaylee on what he hopes to work on at these OTAs with verbiage and language and et cetera.
The fun part for me, to be honest with you, is establishing a foundation, which we talked about in phase one, just the terminology, the nomenclature, the language, okay, getting past that barrier. And, you know, there is some same as, some of the verbiage. And then the second thing I would say is establishing the fundamentals, how we want to hit blocks, how we want to run routes, okay, what the routes are called. And I would say the third element of that, to piggyback off that, is really teaching the details of it, specifically how you want to run routes. What are the concepts? What are the details of the concepts, etc.? What's the intent of the play? And I think that's an important part. Like, we don't just call plays to call plays. There's an intentionality of why we're calling every single play for specific reasons. And I think that this is a great opportunity to really establish that foundation and move forward with that.
So what I loved about this, Seth, when we're talking about attention to detail, I'm listening to that clip and I just can't help but think back to a couple of things. The offensive line not necessarily knowing how to pick up stunts or how to communicate in specific situations like that. And then the receivers always seeming to have some kind of like weird spacing issues with their route running that I didn't always fully understand with the layman's eye. But sitting there watching the games with you, with guys like you and Clint Sterner,
no,
you guys were able to identify that from a mile away. Like, that doesn't look right. That's not supposed to look like that.
Yeah, these guys are not supposed to be running side by side, 25 yards.
It doesn't take a football scholar to notice that.
Right.
Like, yo, what the hell's going on there?
Sometimes it's just six. That's like in basketball. You can tell when the spacing is not right because it's every. Why is this a jumbled mess? That part too, and kind of understanding really the game in total. The part where everything really came to a head for me last year was the Green Bay game. Because in the Green Bay game, you had multiple instances of the offensive tackle and the running back both trying to block an interior defensive lineman while the actual edge rusher ran free. It was just vast, either guys not on the same page or miscommunications, whatever it might be. But then you also had at the end of the game in that sequence where, remember, CJ threw the ball to Tank Dell on the sideline and it was a meaningless throw it wasn't the throw that CJ should have made. And you find out after the game that there was no conversation during the two-minute break or anything about exactly what the plan was and exactly what the game management should be. That part of it, it felt like they were at a remedial level and a lot of the offensive side of the game. And I'm not, and we don't know if Nick Kaylee's going to be any different. He's just got to prove it. But the problem with the way that I think Slowik was trying to run that offense is that in the old days with the Kubiak-Shanahan type scheme, they really didn't want the quarterback to have to be doing a whole lot mentally. You want to get up, run the play, the answer is in the play. Whatever you see defensively, the answer will be there in the play. And I think that NFL defenses have just evolved beyond being able to operate like that because they're just too good at disguising coverages and blending coverages and giving a quarterback a murky picture that it's not so simple to just go out there, snap the ball, and find the answer, especially when you're playing behind a haphazard offensive line. So I think CJ hopefully having more on his plate mentally this year and understanding exactly what they're doing in specific situations and everything and having the authority to make changes at the line of scrimmage, because he's totally mentally capable of doing it. He just needs the reps and he needs the rest of the team to know what the hell they're doing too. There's just too many times last year where it's obvious guys didn't know what the hell they were supposed to be doing.
So over the weekend, Seth, I went to the Improv and saw Tony Baker. Anybody doesn't know him, look him up. He's hilarious. But I had a good time at the Improv over the weekend, and it makes me think about, in this conversation, makes me think about Bobby Slowik, who I thought did an okay to decent, sometimes pretty good job at drawing up a script or writing a script for the game, but was awful at the improv aspect of it. Awful at the – so he would have made a B, maybe even an A in script writing, but no more than a C and probably a D in an improv class, because when it was time to throw away the script or adjust the script or flip the script or however you want to look at it, he did not seem equipped. I am hoping, at least for the Texans' sake, that Nick Caley is much better at improv than his predecessor. Not just at script writing, because that part is important too. You want to get off to fast starts. But when when the ish hits the fan, when you know what goes left, can the dude improv? Does he have answers to the impromptu questions that might pop up on the test?
You know what? You know what I thought of when you were talking about that was Rick Riley, the sports writer, who was a brilliant sports writer.
Happened to Rick Riley?
This is what happened. Sports media moved into, hey, your one column a week isn't cutting it. You gotta be on TV. You gotta be on radio. You gotta stream. You gotta churn out more content. You take a guy that's really, really good at what he did, but then when all of a sudden he has to do it without being able to revise and everything, it was just, he was different. So like younger people that only knew Rick Riley from him trying to talk on television would be astounded if they went back and read his columns from back in the day.
One of the all-time great writers that you'll ever find, sports writers that you'll ever find. Yeah.
Tony Baker was, I've only watched Tony Baker do his voiceovers on animal videos, which are freaking hilarious. I haven't watched a whole lot of his stand-up. Does he do it? Does he bring any of his animal voiceover stuff to the stage?
No. At all? No, he doesn't, but that would have been a great extra element to the stand-up comedy, to be honest with you, man. But he's one of those where it seems like he would just be a funny guy even if he wasn't telling jokes. You know,
he's just one of those people that can just say anything and it's funny.
Like Tracy Morgan has said, hey man, I can teach you how to write jokes. Like anybody can write jokes. I can teach you how to write jokes right now. But are you funny? You know, writing a funny joke and actually just being a funny person is not necessarily the same thing. They can overlap, of course, obviously. But that this guy is just legit funny. Even if I watch some of his podcast, he does the Two Ball Guys podcast with Kev on stage, and they're just it's just a podcast where they're just being hilarious, just being funny guys. I don't think any of it is scripted. It's pretty good stuff.
One of the best things I ever heard from Tracy Morgan was, because he was a guy that he's like one of those rare people who can just get up on stage and just go without necessarily preparing everything and all that. He's just naturally funny. But one of his keys, at least before he had all his health issues, was he made a point, no matter how successful he'd gotten, of still going to the barber shop in either Brooklyn or the Queens, wherever he's from, and just staying grounded in this is funny. Yeah. Like this is real world, real people funny. And he could stay relatable and stay more, just in tune with just actual people, as opposed to just when you're around comedians all the time and you're just copying, just bouncing off of what they say.
You know who else I got to see as one of the opening acts? And I've only seen him, it's funny, I've seen him plenty in person and at KHOU, where you and I have both obviously done a lot of work, but I've got to see him do stand-up for the first time, and that was Chinadu. You remember Chinadu from KHOU?
Yeah.
Man, I hadn't seen him in a long time, man, but apparently he's still getting it in with the comedy, and his stand-up, I'll be honest, was a lot funnier than I was expecting, given sort of the kind of how you have to kind of water it down for a family audience, for a TV family audience, to be on CBS, obviously. I wasn't expecting him to be as funny as he was, and I was pleasantly surprised. So it was actually a pretty good night at the improv as a side note.
Plus, Chinadu, I think, got started off doing funny videos before he was a comedian, didn't he? Because that's the hard part, is a lot of times people that try to make the transition from doing comedic stuff and then you get up and stand up on stage, like that's a whole different ballpark,
if that's true, I actually don't know that part, but if that's true, credit to him, because like I thought his stand-up, and this is just me personally, it's not a criticism of Chinadu, shout out to Chinadu, but I actually enjoyed his stand-up a lot better than I have enjoyed some of his sketches that he's done in the past. Like, not as a knock, but I just thought that the stand-up was legit funny in comparison. So good for him. But the whole point being, script writing versus impromptu improvisation. I want to see Nick Caley be able to do that. This was him also talking about what the offense is going to look like in 2025.
Well, it depends on the players we got, and that's not a cop-out. That's the reality of it. So it can evolve, be willing to change and do whatever we do need to do that's necessary based on who we have and who we're playing. Whether that's, again, you want to get big in terms of multiple personnel or not, gap schemes or zone schemes, you know, committing to more play action or not, that's going to really be dependent on, you know, what your personnel dictates and who you have available. So again, that's the great part about this year is we get to do a lot of different things and really put a lot of guys in different positions to run certain routes, some of these guys have never done anything, you know, or certain routes that we have, and they might be just exclusively outside receivers that we're working inside and vice versa. So it's a good opportunity just to see what these guys can do.
Yeah, my first time noticing there where he says it's not just a cop-out, it's the reality of it. I actually appreciate that because I agree with him. I don't think it's a cop-out. I think that's the reality of what coaching should be.
One of the things that's interesting about that is that I felt like it was almost a knee-jerk reaction of people when they hired Nick Caley that nobody wanted to cite his New England lineage. Because of all the many years that we went through worrying about whether they were just trying to be Patriots South or whatever. But there's some similarities to him being both with McVay and then also with Belichick, which is that McVay has done a really good job of pivoting away from kind of the system that he learned under and the way they ran things, to changing his offense completely to suit the needs of his team. And it started the first year when they were the Rams, and Caley wasn't there yet. But, you know, they said, well, look, you know, yeah, we'd love to use a lot of tight ends and heavy personnel, but the fact of the matter is we've got more good wide receivers than we have tight ends or fullbacks or anybody else. So they became a team that just was in three wide receiver sets a whole bunch. They changed. And then when the zone running scheme wasn't really working for them, they changed and pivoted. And Caley was a part of making that transition. But go back to New England, it wasn't the notion of a Patriots offense or a Tom Brady offense was really hard to pin down because they changed almost every single year.
Yeah.
And there'd be years where they were more run heavy. There'd be years where they aired it out. There would be years where they were up tempo. There were years where they slowed it down. It was all based on who do we have and what can we do with him? You know, Tom Brady didn't really throw the deep ball a whole lot, and then Randy Moss showed up.
Yeah.
And it changed their offense. It changed everything.
Still striking to me, and I know we've heard Nick Caley talk a time or two now, it's still striking to me how much he actually sounds like Sean McVay.
Like McVay, yeah.
Yeah, he sounds a lot like. I don't think he's doing an impersonation per se. I just think maybe a coincidence that he just came from working with him and sounds exactly like him. But it
and he's kind of a high energy, smaller stature guy that he probably, I wonder when he got to LA, he felt like, oh, I can finally be myself. I don't have to act angry and depressed all the time like Belichick. Teams and coaching staffs take on the character of their head coach. And Belichick wanted no frivolity out there. Whereas with McVay, Caley could probably just be his damn self.
Speaking of Belichick in New England, could Stephon Diggs get cut by the Patriots? And could Bill Belichick bail early on North Carolina? As crazy as it sounds, it's possible. Let's talk about it next right here on Payne and Pendergast.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Could it be a short-lived relationship, a short-term affair, and that's between Stephon Diggs and the New England Patriots? That's between Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels. That is the question. Could it be short-lived? And I feel like it's possible, man. We got our first little taste of the call it discord or discomfort, if you will. We can use discomfort in this context, Seth, with everything that's surrounding Stephon Diggs, not just the boat incident with Cardi B. And there was more footage, by the way, of him and Cardi B just living their best life and having a really great time on her Instagram. I implore you all to go check that out if you're interested or inclined. But there's a report from Scott Zolak, who does radio out there in Boston. I believe he's the voice of the Patriots,
He's been their color commentator for a long time.
Played
quarterback for them back in the day, backup quarterback back in the day.
There you go. So voice of the Patriots is probably not right, but connected and obviously, you know, working as a color commentary guy out there in Boston. And he says that he feels like that this is something that could actually happen.
Do you think Diggs should be cut?
Do I think he should be cut?
Yeah, you.
No, I don't.
I do not.
I came to this show yesterday with the the knowledge of that it is on the table, that it is being thought of. And it's not just the boat. It's not just the boat. There's some other things that I've heard. That's all. That puts some things in question. Are you all in? Are you all in here?
Man, his hesitance to elaborate, and then also his clarification there early on of not my opinion, but with the knowledge and understanding. He's saying this is not a hot take for me. this is something that I understand to be true. I found that to be quite insightful.
This is where Texans fans can take some pride in this scenario, because I think that obviously there's still a lot of common ties between the Patriots and the Texans, even though a lot of people have shuffled in and out up there. It's not the Belichick Patriots anymore, but there's common ties, and guys around the league know each other. And I'm guessing that whenever anybody from the Patriots reached out to anybody from the Texans about, hey, what was your experience like with Stephon Diggs? I'm guessing they heard a lot of really, really positive things. Hey, came in, he was a mentor to the young guys, he said all the right things. Man, after some of those really bad losses, Stephon Diggs was the first guy to tell everybody to stay focused and everything like that. And now, now I feel like it sounds like for Zolak to be saying that, that the Patriots might be feeling like, man, oh boy, we got the bad version of Stephon Diggs. And whatever, if it's not just the... It's a bad look, whatever the pink powdery substance was. They wouldn't be cutting him over just that, and it would be really hard to do that just because of the way the current CBA is anyway. And, like, you're going to have to get somebody to – that's not going to happen. I don't know. It feels like Diggs might have done the old thing where it's, like, the behavior version of what an underperforming player does in his contract here.
Yeah.
Albert Haynesworth – underperforming, goes off in his contract year, and then goes and gets that bag, and then turns back into a pumpkin. Diggs might have just been on his absolute best behavior for 9 months, and that was enough, and then now he goes out, and New England might be getting an aging wide receiver coming off of an ACL where there's questions allegedly about whether or not he's all in.
Yeah, I don't want to put that on him, but it does kind of give those vibes, right, of, hey, this is the contract year, this is the prove-it year, and then you got to think about Stephon Diggs and where he's at in his career, right, where he is in the life cycle. This is probably the last big contract that he's going to get. Like, if he plays past this Patriots contract, it's going to be for, if not like league minimum stuff, it'll be for much, much smaller numbers that we can even see in this deal. Like, the older you get, obviously the numbers are going to go down in terms of what you're going to be able to command on the free market. And so this, to me, it's hard to look at it as a coincidence as it being Stephon Diggs' last big payday, him getting that big payday, taking the money, and then saying, all right, now it's time to go party with Cardi B until this knee is all the way healed. It's like,
I'm
going to
let my freak flag fly now. Yeah, this is just, I'm going to be me. I can be 100% me. I got this contract. There's a whole bunch of guaranteed money. The only way that at least by reading the way Florio has looked at it, the only way that the Patriots can really cut him without having to pay all of his guaranteed money or a huge chunk of his guaranteed money is if they fail his physical. And he's coming off an ACL, so obviously he's not ready to play just yet. But I think it's pretty unlikely. But now it will be interesting where, as bad as things got offensively last year, as you pointed out earlier, he's really the only receiving threat on that Patriots depth chart right now.
Yeah.
If he's healthy and if he comes back, he's going to be 32 years old. And the Patriots were real aggressive in the offseason in a lot of ways, trying to help out Drake May and fix things around him. But there's going to be it's almost impossible that there won't be drama at some point. If this amount of drama is already coming out, then I'm guessing that it's – and Vrabel, like, it's not like Vrabel hasn't dealt with – Vrabel's been a very good head coach. He's dealt with personality issues and all this. This isn't like a first-time guy. It's just surprising that you look at Vrabel's public persona and you feel like, well, this is a guy that doesn't want to put up with a lot of BS, but he might have a big old heaping pile of BS that he has to deal with right off the bat with Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, that's going to be the question. You just hit on it, Seth. That's going to be the ultimate question for me is, what is their appetite for drama? What level of drama is Stephon Diggs presenting? Like, I don't know if it's, you know, how much of it past the stuff that we're seeing publicly, how much of it is behind the scenes and this concern that Zolak is alluding to about, is he all in? Well, what is their appetite for that level of, or for that lack of buy-in, or for whatever drama is associated with it versus, so the level of appetite for that versus what they have in you know, in response? Like, what is their contingency plan if they get rid of Stephon Diggs? Well, who is Drake May supposed to be throwing the ball to in his second NFL season and in Mike Vrabel's first season coming back to New England as the head coach? Like, those things matter, or all of this matters in terms of the grand scheme of things. What's your level of appetite to deal with Stephon Diggs, knowing that you need, if not him, somebody like him on the team, for sure.
Well, the fun part of this, I desperately need Stephon Diggs to remain in New England and hopefully be an important part of their offense this year, because the other acquisition they made was Mac Hollins, and he's a weirdo himself.
Oh, is that the barefoot dude?
Yeah. That could be. This is old school, colorful wide receiver room, you know, where you got these huge personalities and weirdos and everything. It's got the potential to be either disastrous or awesome, and I'm here for it as long as they don't get too good too fast.
So
I don't want them to actually, you know, be a contender or anything.
So the question is, who leaves first, Stephon Diggs or Bill Belichick? Because there's also a report out there, or just the knowledge that in his contract, and this is kind of key, yesterday meant that the buyout in his contract dropped significantly from $10 million to $1 million. With UNC. So if he had decided to leave between when he signed that contract in December and before yesterday, it would have cost him $10 million to buy out his contract. As of yesterday and going forward now, it only costs but $1 million. And $10 million is a lot of money for pretty much anybody. $1 million for somebody like Bill Belichick that has made as much money as he has, not quite as much money. So now,
especially when he could easily make $1 million in media.
He could make $1 million doing a number of things. Absolutely.
He could step out of the facility there and sign a contract with ESPN or somebody else for at least $1 million a year to do whatever he wanted. So like the money is almost just not even a factor in terms of what his bottom line is going to be at the end of the year. I'd be really, really surprised if he bailed on this just because, oh, you know what? I was about to say he's not a quitter. He quit the Jets job after 4 hours on the job. I don't know.
I feel like I've seen him quit before. I feel like I've seen it happen, man.
He claims it was mutual in New England when they parted ways. Bob Kraft says he fired him. But it doesn't feel like Belichick is one to feel like, oh gosh, it seems like the whole world is against me. This is too much for me. Do you think that Belichick's going to be a guy who softens with age or something?
I don't know if he softens with age, but this, I got to say, this is where the Jordan Hudson angle of it all does fascinate me. Like, I think some of the reporting around that whole relationship has been kind of weird, and we're kind of getting a little in some weird places, but this Hudson-UNC relationship and the part about it being awkward or not necessarily the greatest, if that is actually true and Bill seems to be as whipped as he is, like that's the part of it to me that I am going to put a pin in, is like, okay, that part of it could be what gets him to actually pay. Like, if she just comes out and says, you know what, this isn't working for me, therefore it isn't working for us, and we're out of here, Bill. We got the million dollars. Let's go ahead and get out of here. I could absolutely see that being a thing.
That's the most disappointing thing about him being whipped, as you said, is that I don't judge people, whatever. Go out with somebody younger than you, older than you, whatever. Just whatever floats your boat. But him at the age of 73, I kind of behaving like a teenager who just got his first taste and is like, doesn't realize that there's other women out there in the world.
Yeah.
There are other 25-year-olds out there, Bill. A bunch of them.
Especially for rich men.
Like, I don't know what. Maybe his self-esteem is lacking or something. He doesn't realize or think that that a really, really wealthy, older, successful guy might be attractive to multiple younger women. But they're out there, Bill.
Yeah, it's like
you don't have to let this woman dictate terms.
The same way you got this one to be the way you get the next one, man. Like, you got a formula working here, dog. Yeah. Trust the process, big dog.
You know what's hurt him? It's funny. Whenever you go out, if you go out, it's one of my most fun things learning about when I was there, or observing when I was in the NFL. Because, you know, I went to Cornell. It's not like you get a whole lot of groupies or anything at Cornell for playing football. Unless you're a recruit. I tell you the recruits. Let me tell you. If you're thinking about going to Cornell, my God. Yeah. You'll barely have any time for football because the women will be after you. But you go out to a bar or something, and there's almost like different, like there's perimeters of, there's like a band of women that are trying like hell to get close to where the athletes are hanging out. And then if you look out a little further past it, there's women that are like, kind of like, oh, what's that going on over there? Whatever. Oh, okay, cool. I don't like football, whatever. And then in the corner, there's like a woman that's like, oh, those a-holes. Look at those arrogant bastards. And that was always the woman that I wanted to talk to because that's the challenge. And like, so, but Belichick, because his head is down all the time because he's focused on or thinking, he's got that 1,000-mile stare because he's thinking about X's and O's and everything else. He probably doesn't realize how many options he actually has until he's sitting next to a woman on a plane who's paying him some attention and he couldn't ignore it because she's so effective in her strategy that he might genuinely not realize that he's got other options. It doesn't have to be this one, Bill. There's so many other ones out there.
So many others, man. Hate to see it. Hey, hopefully he snaps out of the spell and, you know, at the very least it doesn't cost him an extra $1 million beyond whatever it's cost him already at this point, which you got to believe.
Wait until after July. The sports news is sparse between now and training camp. Just keep holding on, okay, Bill? We need more drama through August when we've got actual football to talk about.
We've got Crosstalk coming up next with In the Loop. I want to get their thoughts on this C.J. Stroud shoulder situation. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Had a good time the last few days here, rolling along with Seth Payne.
Yes, you've done a great job. The only issue has really been that you're much more mature than Sean and I. So other than that, it's been seamless. But I've had to remind myself at times, like, oh, wait, no, Brandon actually is he's mature.
No, okay. That is actually not the case. More, you know what it honestly is? It's that because I'm not. I'm honestly not. It's just that, you know, when you're sitting in, you want to do it justice. And maybe you put a little extra pressure on yourself to perform because you're not in your regular chair and you don't. Here's the thing about being a filling guy. You don't want to be the reason why the people that normally listen to the show don't to the show. Like, there are people who undoubtedly listen to the show for Seth Payne specifically or listen to the show for Sean Pendergast specifically. So if either one of you is not, or listen to you guys a combination specifically. So if either one of you leaves, people might check out and not want to listen or feel like they can come back. But, and I'm fine with that if it's because they listen specifically for you. But if they just like to hear a good morning show, or they like Sports Radio 610, or they like the content that we give, or the, or what we cover, I don't want to be the reason why they go away. And so you put a little extra pressure on yourself. Maybe I present a little bit more mature than I actually am because I want to be invited back to the seat the next time
is out. Yeah, I don't think I've noticed that. Yeah, you don't get any of that. You're so well known to Sports Radio 610 listeners, and especially, you know, the biggest thing with you was, and I did I ever send you the screenshot I gave you of JJ Watt has complimented you publicly before on the questions you've asked, but he actually, I'm always careful. I don't like sending texts around to people. But JJ had texted me once about you specifically, about the really good questions you asked when you first came on with us and you were acting as a reporter, that you asked very thoughtful questions. And I know our listeners right off the bat, a lot of them knew you from that before anything else. And they really like they started liking you because, this guy's getting really good stuff in a press conference. And actually, and the players look like they enjoy talking to him. So that's, you got your foot in the door in exactly the right way. So I never felt the, usually when any new co-host comes on or anybody new to the station, yeah, there's always going to be people that just decide they don't like a guy initially. I don't think you ever really got that the same way a lot of other guys do. So yeah, I don't worry about that part of it. You've been really liked by the listeners ever since you came on.
Yeah. Well, and I think the part, this is not even necessarily, and I appreciate what you're saying, and especially, you know, JJ kind of recognizing that as well when I first started to come around. But I think the biggest thing that helped for me was that I was a part of the audience. Like, I literally am the audience. Like, you know, like, I'm a good example of the people that y'all are, I'm talking about the age demographic, the actual, like, being a legitimate Houston sports fan who's from here and rooted in all of what you guys are talking about. So I was able to identify with what we were doing at an early stage because I was a part of the outreach. I'm part of the exact, you know, person that you're sending the message to. So I think that part of it worked out pretty well. Well,
and for those of you who haven't heard the story, and I know that you didn't really think much of this interaction, but the first time I met Brandon, I was doing the Battle of the Piney Woods, and I was just kind of out kicking around before the game or at halftime. I can't remember what it was. And you came up and just said that. You said you were a student at the time. Right? You were still a student at the time.
Student at Sam Houston State, yep.
So it was an undergraduate, and we were just chatting, but you ended up, and I don't think you weren't even trying to do it. You gave me some really good information that I ended up using in the broadcast, and I was like, man, that is a mature kid right there. Like, he really just, like, you didn't come up, like, fanboying or anything. And that was where, ultimately, like, when you ended up applying for a job, that I had watched you and read you and everything in the interim, and I'd seen you working at KHOU. I was like, I felt pretty confident giving a really good recommendation to you, to our boss at the time, Armin Williams, because like right from the get-go, you were just you were useful to me. And in my like selfishly, I was like, yeah, I think I like this guy. I think he's smart, and he seems like he has actual thoughts in his head. That's what it was. I remember now. Whatever you had told me about the game, I was like, oh, that's not your standard stuff. Like, that's actually a really good nugget that's really good for a broadcast. And I could just tell that it was a different, that you thought about things differently than just your standard generic sports dude. So, so I don't know if there's a lesson for kids out there. Just be useful.
Yeah.
Be useful. Well, and now you've got the job of your dreams.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm glad you told that story, though, because I think maybe we told it a time or two on the air. But it is just like a legitimate, first of all, that was just perfect timing. Because had I met you, like, say, the year before, like, I think you and I met, like, right after I had my first kid, right? So I was kind of forced to kind of grow up and mature a little bit, like, on the spot, like, go from being boy to a man, like, in an instant, right? And that happened to me, or for me, toward the end of college. And so I did that, but also kind of to the point of just, like, it's not about, and I think you said this a time or two when we've mentioned this before, I didn't come up trying to impress you. Like, that didn't even, like, go through my mind. I didn't think I could impress you, quite honestly, given where you were in your life and stage and career and where I was just trying to figure things out. I just legitimately went up to introduce myself, to say that, and Mike Meltzer at the time was your radio partner, to say that I was a fan of both of you guys at the time. And then through natural conversation, I think I was useful because the job mattered to me at the time and what I was doing. I was doing student media at Sam Houston State covering the Bearcats. And so I was really entrenched in that the way we are with the Texans right now. And so it was nothing to really do that, knowing that you guys couldn't be, right? As radio guys who focus primarily on pro sports, y'all couldn't know everything about Sam Houston State and SFA the way that that really only us who were entrenched in that world could.
Right,
and so,
right.
And so I think I was able to understand that and identify that early on. And who knew that a simple, small interaction like that would perhaps a decade later change my life? So it's actually a pretty cool story.
The funny thing about that was after Armin hired you, he was like, all right, man. All right. You know what? So this is on you. Okay. If he doesn't work out. I was like, hey, wait a minute, man. Hey. I don't know. I don't know if he impressed me that much. Hey. All right. Well, let's just see. Let's see.
Hey, but look, if I can just for a moment pat myself on the back, if Armin is listening, update. How's that going, right?
Like,
update. It's going at least well enough to where Sean Pendergast can take a few days off and everybody feel comfortable about the space that we're in. You know, not to say that I'm the greatest in the world or anything, but at least it's worked out to this degree, I think.
The hardest thing about you when you came in, and I think probably a lot of people listening can relate to this, is that, like, in this industry, everything is changing so much, and we've had to try to make such a push to the digital side of things. And it was, from the way I was looking at it, it was like you came in and it was kind of like, hey, we're changing our whole strategy about everything. Go do all this stuff. And then 2 weeks later, no, actually, we're going to do it completely differently. So go do it this way instead.
Yeah.
And it was I was stressed out on behalf of you, but you increased our video numbers and everything immediately. It was really good.
Yeah. And a lot of that is just the industry, man. The industry's constantly changing. And this is a little inside baseball, but from a company standpoint, we were also changing, right? Like, we changed over ownership, name, and with that, strategy has changed. And so The big thing in this business, like, if we're just going to give advice to younger people who might either want to be in this business or do anything, is, hey, man, be ready to bend, be adaptable, be flexible, be have some wiggle about you, because the moment you get used to something, the moment you get comfortable with something, that's exactly when that damn thing's about to change on you. So you got to be ready for that, 100%.
Conan O'Brien has a really good speech. He was giving a commencement address. I want to say it was at Dartmouth or something. But it was after he'd been fired and went through the whole Tonight Show stuff and everything. And it was really, that was basically the theme of it, is that, man, whatever your dreams are, it's not giving up your dreams. It's that sometimes you might have to modify them just because circumstances change. And that's life. And yeah, like, because you've been through an industry where you started off as a writer and ended up having to, you know, be a producer on television, and then you take a winding path to get to places.
Yeah. Just to think, when I went to college, I majored in print journalism, and now if I go back to Sam Houston State and tell them that, they'll be like, "What the hell are you talking about, dog?
Print? What?
What is that?
Font? Is that like font?
What are you printing? T-shirts?
Like, look who you're talking to, man.
Like, what's going on? Oh, yeah.
Look who you're talking to, man.
Awkwardly, as Lopez walks in, it's like, oh, yeah. Print. What a novel concept as we welcome in the guys from In the Loop.
When Lopez first started out, he had to set his own type.
Damn near.
That was on the Gutenberg press, right?
When I used to send stories when I was at A&M, we used to do it. It would take 4 minutes per page on a teletype machine.
Oh, man.
4 minutes.
Per page.
There is no way that, maybe my generation, maybe, but the generation that's coming up now, there is no way they have the attention span and the ability to do that.
I remember.
Well, you guys.
Go ahead.
4 minutes?
Yeah, Lopez.
They can't do anything for 4 minutes.
Right. Well, Lopez, and you guys, a lot of times, wouldn't you have to dictate your story to somebody on the other line?
I've done that on numerous occasions, because if the deadline was real tight, rather than 4 minutes per page, they would be on the big giant, you know, computer or laptop. Computer.
Mainframe.
And just, mainframe, just typing it in. They would type it in, and I'd just be, you know, period, paragraph, exclamation point, the whole line.
He's out here.
The whole stop. Yeah, exactly. And then you've seen the hyphen 30 hyphen.
Yeah, of course.
At the very end, you have to say 30. That's when you know the story is
We still do that as a symbolic gesture in the journalism world. When we get on a soapbox or in a soliloquy, we just 30 that bad boy.
The headline for my farewell column at the Chronicle was hyphen 30.
Like, I get it. However, this is where I'm going to be a dork. I feel like that's every writer. Like, everybody's like, hey, this is a clever way to make it known that I'm done here. And
luckily,
but you got to be a writer to know that too, though.
It is true, because we are very inside baseball.
Really dating myself, when I was a sophomore at A&M, we got this newfangled contraption that was going to change the world. Floppy disk.
Oh. and change the world it did.
And it was actually floppy, if anybody wonders why it's called that.
It's got to hurt your feelings every time you watch one of these videos where they bring some of this technology out for these young athletes, and they're like, what is this?
And people, those are funny.
You guys know
I tinker. You know, I love tinkering with any new data, any new device, and I'm not a genius by any stretch. I think it comes from that. Like, I've my whole career has been like, now you got to change again. You know, that kind of thing.
You would be floored by how things operate at the Chronicle now. We meet on Zoom. I work with all of these people at the Chronicle who, like, maybe a small fraction of which I've actually met in person.
Yeah.
We're just all Slack avatars to each other now.
We've advanced to a stage where the technology is so good that instead of that process that Lopez talked about, like dictating a story out, now if I want to deliver a two-sentence message to my wife, I dictate it into my phone and then spend 5 minutes editing the errors from the voice to text, and then I send it. Yeah, and what could be a simple 3-second conversation turns into a 15-minute ordeal. Yes,
when you could have just, you know, typed that bad boy out and got it in, and probably you know, some mix between the two times,
or called on the phone. Like, that's what funny, because we pretend that we are so into efficiency in this day and age, and yet we will have a conversation over text over the span of like 30 minutes that we could have cleared up in about 3 on the phone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like without the spaces and the breaks. It's kind of funny that it operates that way.
Yeah, but
you can't have a serious conversation via text. If there's any emotion involved whatsoever, somebody like the wrong, you're going to get the wrong message at some point. Yeah. But it sucks. It sucks to talk on the phone.
Yeah, I was going to say, ugh, gross.
I'd rather
less interested in having serious conversations, too. That's why we text all the time.
That's one of the things I want to start developing. I want to become that person that just randomly calls people and have conversations. I want to be that
Tell them good night.
All right, so maybe not that far. Maybe not that far. I feel like that'll get people to really be mad at me. But, opportunity to just, like, start up impromptu conversation. Mm-hmm.
I should mention that Crosstalk is sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing, and we appreciate D&M Auto Leasing for bringing us Crosstalk, and the guys from In the Loop are here. Before I ask y'all about y'all's question of the day, which of course we want to hear about, I do want to get y'all's reaction. I'm sure y'all are going to go through this over the show to the C.J. Stroud news. Are y'all, just simple question, are you worried? Are you concerned at all about this shoulder thing, or is it just not much to do about nothing?
All right, so the logical part of my brain goes, like, we're still very far off from football. It is reasonable for an organization to want to be mindful with the way that they, you know, utilize a quarterback who is, for all intents and purposes, their franchise, their future. At the same time, like, there's the little lizard brain in me that goes, oh, no. Like, two open practices in a row, we saw them hold him out and had some of these other dudes out here throwing, right? And he's, I mean, he looks like he wants to go, but he, and if, so it's very clear that they are, as an organization, they are telling him, no, we are not letting you go. Like, they, you don't do that for absolutely nothing. So, like, the back of my brain is like, there's something there, and if there's something there, it can be exasperated, and it might be because the Astros have been out here tricking us on this ain't nothing, and all of a sudden it is more than nothing. It is something very big.
Right.
But yeah, like there's a little bit of something in the back of my mind that I keep trying to tamp down with the logic that is, it's probably fine.
Like Lopez, doesn't it feel like there's got to be some middle ground between nothing and something? Like it's not nothing, but maybe it's not something, and whatever the hell is in between that, it could be that.
I think for me, I'm just scarred because of the Astros. Like I probably would not have that, like Reggie said, that little something where, like, maybe, you know, it's bad. If it weren't for the Astros just constantly doing it, we're going to get into the show, of course, so talking about that today. So I want to say I'm not real. I'm more encouraged than discouraged, but it's just there's a scar there, you know?
Yeah. Well, what about y'all's question of the day? What are y'all going to ask the people today?
What is a speech that still resonates with you? 713-572-4610. Inspired by the finale, the ending of Inside the NBA on TNT specifically, right? Ernie Johnson, I think, in addition to all the guys, they gave them all their little opportunity to say their last kind of words. But I think Ernie Johnson did a pretty solid job of, like, kind of capturing the love and respect that they have for the work that they've done over the last how many years? 30-some years at this point. And so, like, that kind of got us in the mood of wanting to revisit some of those speeches, particularly the ones in sports that resonate.
Yeah.
Mine was Bokeem Woodbine's portrayal of the I Have a Dream speech. That was...
It's so funny you would go there, because I was definitely going to
tell everybody all the time.
I was definitely going to say it's a sermon of some sort somewhere in church or something. But this is perfect. Yeah. Thank you for that answer, Seth Payne. Of course, I should also mention before we hand it off to the guys at In the Loop that you're listening to KIOT AM, KIOT FM, HD2 Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, we hand it to the guys at In the Loop. And Seth, it's been fun, my man. I'll see you next time, buddy.
It's been fun. Great job, Brandon.
Appreciate you, man. And now,
let me reiterate, great job, man.
I thank you guys. I thank you guys. And it's been also an honor to lead the show into In the Loop, to hand it off to you guys. Who?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.